So the book of Proverbs is a really special book, and I know many of you spend time in it reading one chapter a day throughout the month. There's 31 chapters, and there is, what, normally 31 days in a month, sometimes not, but been in the Proverbs and wanted to share with you some encouraging passages, as today I believe God wants us to focus on the good news. I don't have to tell you that there is plenty of bad news in our world today. And in fact, that is often what is talked about. I did a little experiment with my own heart, my own mind. I pulled up a news app on my phone, and I paid attention to what was I drawn to. What did I see? And it was interesting to note that so often I was seeing all of these negative things. But when I would come across a positive element, something that spoke of life or love or generosity, my heart took a turn. There's a matter of refreshment there, and that's just a small little glimmer of what the power is in good news. Listen to what Proverbs has to say. You know that Proverbs is short sayings by and large. Now, chapters 1 through 9, there's more of a context, but when you get after that, they're usually short sayings, truth, principles that you can apply in your life. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25 says this: as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, we can apply that in varying different ways, but let's be honest about this. When we're thirsty, a cold glass of water does something, doesn't it? It refreshes and it ministers to us. And this is the comparison that we find here. So is good news from a far country. Now, what is interesting is that we are, in this context, receiving this good news and finding it to be a refreshment. What about those who bear that good news? What about this messenger from the far country? Why is it that he travels so far with a message to declare? It's because he knows the power of good news. Proverbs 15 and verse 30 says this: the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. I know that when I wake up in the morning and I see the sunshine, it does something to me. I can't explain everything, all the ins and outs of it, but when I take note of the good news, it's a sunny day, it ministers to my heart. The light of the eyes, it rejoices the heart. And a good report makes the bones fat. Good news. The very nature of good news, it has a power to change lives, to change perspectives, to take us from looking at the doom and the gloom to lifting us up and seeing life and light. I was talking with one of you earlier in the parking lot, and we just exchanged greetings and how are you doings, and I had this proverb in my mind. It's Proverbs 12:25. It goes like this: heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. You hear that? Heaviness, so this is Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. I was, as we were talking out there in the parking lot, it was just shared with me that sometimes it's difficult to really feel well, to feel good, to really have this a perspective that things are looking good. It's difficult to be able to, I'm doing well, and to truly mean it, right? It takes a mindset in our minds. And so as we were talking, I shared this verse with the individual and one of you, and because I needed to hear it again, and because, listen, a good word makes a heart glad. And it's a ministry of good news that as we speak a good word, we can minister into the heart of people. I want to share with you a story. This is a true story. Israel, the Northern Kingdom. They were ruled by a king who was quite evil. Of course, the kingdom of Israel, they didn't have any good kings. There was a prophet. The prophet's name, Elisha. Elisha was a mighty man of God. In fact, he was known for telling the king of Israel the enemy's secrets of battle. And so the enemies would set up camp here, and somehow the Israelites already knew they would be there. Well, it came to be that one day the enemies, the Syrians, came and surrounded the city of Samaria. They held it under siege. And for those who do not understand what siege is, we're watching that happen in Europe today, where there is a circling of the enemy to keep supplies from coming in and people from going out. And so therefore, what happens inside the city is there becomes less and less to less food and water, and people begin to do very desperate things. It got so to the point that in Samaria, people were eating their own children. Well, there came a day when Elijah said to the king, Tomorrow, you will be able to buy flour and barley, and it will be cheap. No longer will it be expensive and take all of your income just for you to survive, but nope, you'll be able to eat freely tomorrow. One of the king's men who stood beside him, he doubted him and said, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. And Elijah said, you'll get to see it, but you will not get to taste it. Now, this is the man of God speaking, of course, prophesying, but it immediately is doubted. Well, it is described that at the gate of the city of Samaria, there were four lepers. And these four lepers, as you could imagine, were outcasts from their very own people. And they reasoned in their mind, do we go into the city and die in there? Or do we go out to the enemy and perhaps they'll accept us or they kill us? Either way, it's worth a try. So therefore, what they did was chose to go to the Syrian army who had surrounded Samaria. Four lepers. In case you don't realize, a leper was someone had a disease that was extremely contagious and therefore completely separate from all the other people. So they went out to the Syrian camp. As they approached the Syrian camp, do you know what they found? As they approached the Syrian camp, they found it empty. Now, wait a minute. How could this be? How could this our enemy not be in this place? They found tents. They found gold. They found silver. They found food. You know what they did? They ate. They went into this tent and they ate this food. And they found the gold and the silver. You know what they did? They took the gold and the silver. They went and they hid it. I mean, deep inside their mind, hey, we have found the jackpot. How would you have reacted? Everybody is in the city, starving. The enemy has surrounded them. They don't know the enemy's gone. We could have all of this for ourselves. How would you have responded? Here is what happened. They said to one another, "We do not do well. This day is a day of good news. And we hold our peace. If we tarry until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came, and they called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, "We come to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, donkeys tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. What do you think the king said? The king said, "It's a trick. This is a trick. They want us to think they're gone." And so they sent out whatever a few horses that they had left. Go explore. Go see if this be true. And indeed, what they found was they found the Syrian army had left a trail of spoil, of belongings, all the way to the Jordan River. And so, indeed, when that report returned back, the people rushed out in such a throng that man who had doubted, that man that Elisha said, "You will see it, but not taste it," he was put in charge of the gate that day. And he got to watch people go and eat freely. But you know what happened to him? He was trampled to death by the throng. Good news has power. And it has a power to change lives. Do you realize the good news that you have to share? This account that I shared with you is indeed in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 7. You can check me. I told you the story in a narrative form because it's very like how it is in the Bible. But I want us to realize that God includes this in the Bible, yes, to confirm for us the power of God's man, his prophet Elisha. But I also think it helps to illustrate the power of good news. And what it does is it points to us today. and reminds us. And listen, I've been working on this in my mind as I knew that we'd have the Harveys with us today, and we'd be talking a little bit about evangelism. And I believe that God wants to stir up within our hearts a reminder, a remembrance on the good news that is within us. We, as sick, as sinful people, God has brought and opened our eyes this treasure of life, of eternal life, that is found through Jesus Christ. And there is this treasure we have in earthen vessels. Do we do well? Do we tell the city that's starving? I don't take the Old Testament and try to overly spiritualize it. I know you can take stories like that and make them say whatever you want them to say, but hear me. The lesson we see here is when you find this treasure, share it. Church, you have a treasure within you that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the treasure within you is one that is not meant to be for one specific day when you have come to faith in Christ and then you leave it there and then you go on and you live your life. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is something that has changed your life and will continue God's work of sanctification in you, of making you to be more like His Son. There is going to be, in a Christian's life, a constant dying to self. There's going to be a raising up as you proclaim life in Jesus' name. God wants to stir within us the very power of the gospel to change lives. He's changed your life, and He wants to change lives of those around us. What are you doing with the good news that has changed your life? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." That's the pathway on which you walk as a Christian, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, the Apostle Peter was called to Cornelius' house because Cornelius had seen a vision. He was a Gentile, and he had seen the vision, and he called for Peter because he wanted to hear the good news. And so when Peter was called and brought to Cornelius' house, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, we read these words. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.'" That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. A good word makes a heart glad. Church, God wants to stir us in this ministry of evangelism. He wants to light a fire within us that as we look at people around us, whether they be in our neighborhood, our co-workers, our family, that we begin to see them as Jesus sees them. Because what did Jesus say? I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. May God give us eyes to see people from this eternal mindset, because there is an eternal destiny that awaits us all. And it's either with God or apart from him. Now is the time. Now is the day for salvation. Now is the time, and God has us here now to proclaim this good news. Yes, God, help us. You know, I needed this because I wrestle with fear. I can remember some of those first times I went out on open-air evangelism. I did it with Sam Fry. He's still doing it, isn't he? And he did all of his training, and we went out into the streets of New York City. Okay, I'm a country kid from the middle of Pennsylvania, out in the valley. We have our own dialect, as you well know. We go into these streets and I encounter people that I have never encountered before. They just viewed life so differently. And the task for us was not to go sightsee and to look at all the sights and just walk around looking like this. But it was to look at people and to gauge people with the truth. Terrifying experience. But I knew what God wanted me to do. And so you did it, right? You just do it. And sometimes you probably have to just go, whoop, with some of us shy people. Preaching those boards, you know, those paint, those boards that you've seen Jim do, I had to do one of those, right? I got to do one of those, and many of those. And people stop and talk and listen and want to engage. Listen, the ministry of evangelism is something to which we are all called. But God brings the increase. If we can release ourselves of this burden of, I've got to change people's lives, or I've got to know every single answer to every single question before I'm going to step out there, that's not going to happen. We need to release ourselves from this personal responsibility that we feel that we're going to change these people's lives and realize the task to which we have been called is being the physical mouthpiece for our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who is in heaven waiting to come and take us to be with him. But until that day, he has us here to proclaim his word. And do you know what he does? He saves people. He draws people unto himself. I you look out of the crowd, you know, you can't just say, you know, boom, boom. God knows who. God is at work in different people's lives. And in fact, I believe God is at work in some of you today. Perhaps today is a day that you're hearing this message in a new way. Praise be to God for his work. his Spirit, who is alive and well. So let me tell you, remind you, heaviness of the heart makes us stoop. We've experienced that a lot over the last couple of years. There's been many a day where I'm stooped. But a good word makes the heart glad. I'm not talking about let's be fake and naive to the struggles and realities of life. But what we are saying is let's remember the power of good news. You might say, well, how does that affect us as a church? We know Christ. I want to ask you, how were you ministered to as different people in the church shared earlier? It encouraged you? Make you glad? Sure it did. Sure it did. When you go up and shake somebody's hand, give them a good word. Tell them about something you learned this week from the Lord. Tell them about your way that you saw God's grace in your life or even in the news. Hey, did you see how that person helped this person? One thing I really have appreciated in my own heart is when someone reminds me the Lord is coming again. Wow. That really picks you up, doesn't it? When you remember, Lord, the Lord is coming soon. There's power in good news, church. Won't you be the bearer of that news? Thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you for the power of your word. I'm so excited that we've got good news. Encourage your church as we go from this place. In Jesus' name.